down at the cross where my Savior died. Down from the cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to
Please be seated.
Good evening, everybody. Okay, some questions. Spirituality question. What outreach organization did he do street evangelism with? Yep. By the way, I wanted to mention to y'all, please raise your hands like you really mean it, so I can see you. That's the main thing. Sometimes I don't know who to call on. Okay, that was a spirituality. Very good. Yep. Okay, another spirituality question. Why did the king recently make a lot of English people upset?
Because he did something for the Muslims, nothing for
you. Basically, exactly what he did. What is wrong with those people? Thank you. There you go. Church question. What is it that concerns James about member Christian Kwan in his church? There's something that concerns him. Yeah, I guess that's basically it. Yeah, exactly. He understands up here, but this is where it counts. He doesn't have it there. Good. Thank you. There you go. Good job. History question. Which anniversary of the Tyndale New Testament? Yes. 500th anniversary. As I understand it, Pastor, it wasn't the Bible. He translated a lot of different things, but not necessarily a whole Bible. That's what I thought from my reading, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think
I know. That wasn't fair. Okay. Well, it's not a Bible that we really, we have our own. Okay, and last, a geography question. The probable relaunch of the shortwave radio ministry to North Korea came after a church donated $5,000 from where? Kentucky. I saw two hands up at the same time, and then one went kind of down again. Bob Barker never had this problem. I think he's on the last. Yeah. Okay, so that was geography. Very good. You got three on that one. Yes, you did. Okay, thank you all. Pastor.
All right, let's stand as we turn to 327, Higher Ground, 327.
I'm pressing on the upward way, through heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Well, amen. I want to go over a few announcements this evening. It was all the same ones from this morning. Well, maybe we weren't all in here. I know different things. But nursing home ministry is a blessing. Amen. And so that's a great time and great to hear those preaching and getting ready to preach. And it's a great great occasion there and people that we can minister to, and appreciate all the folks that have gone out. I want to say something about nursing home ministry. It's not for everybody. Okay, what does that mean? You know, is church for everybody? Yes. Yes. But everything that we have isn't going to be something for everyone. Some people, when I started going into the jail, I thought, man, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just an opportunity. I wanted that. And I went in there, and, man, I just loved it. I loved it. I got to preach to them cell to cell, and some of the greatest people I ever met. No, but not really. There was a captive audience. Anyway, sorry. But, you know, other people were like, no, do I have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. And can I tell you, some people like door-to-door soul winning. We're going to be doing that soul winning, our soul winning class coming up. Here, as soon as we get back, September 19th, it's going to be a Saturday, a couple hours, And sort of like, you know, the idea of knocking on a stranger's door makes me sick even thinking about it. Okay? Hey, I understand that. Can I just say this? And, you know, like, I can't believe a Baptist pastor is going to say this. But it ain't for everybody to go cold calling door to door. He said, aren't we supposed to go on the highway and hedges to compel them to come in that my house may be full? That is a parable. But I think there is a get the gospel to all the world, and there's different avenues. I love going door to door. I used to love it because people would come and answer the door and talk to you. It's that same, but we're going to do it again, and we're going to. But there's other avenues. We're going to have other things. Some people love Vacation Bible School. Bunch of snot nosed kids screaming and going on, and I love it. No, some people love it. I love seeing all the people come that we can minister to. But I'm not. I don't think it's my favorite thing. But I love seeing people that we can reach, and I'm excited about that, and people we've reached through that. So that's a wonderful thing. So I'm saying that to say this. I'd like you to realize that the nursing home ministry is. Some are going to love it. Some are going to be there like, man, I got to be there every week. And amen, amen. By the way, Kayla isn't in charge of it. She's organizing it. Right? That's what she's like, I'm not in charge. What are you talking about? She's going to organize it. And so she'll help you with that. So if you want to be a part of that and something, you're like, what can I do? You can go early. Go room to room. Hey, we're having this. Come talk to people. I mean, there's some of the sweetest people. Some of them are grumpy. Some don't have enough clothes on to be appropriate. You know, you walk in. Sometimes you walk back. You know what I mean? That's the way it is. Those folks, they lost all dignity. Most of them don't care. They don't even know. You're like, whatever. You know, doctors work on me. You know, you a doctor? You know, you're like, no, I'm a preacher. How you doing? So I've gone in hospital rooms all over, and you're like, weirdest thing. I'm going on a little bit. Sorry, but let me just tell you this. I walked in a hospital room. Somebody I've just met, somebody family member, say, hey, can you go visit my family member? And I'll go in there. They started giving me their medical history. I'm a pastor going into a hospital visit. All of a sudden, now you give me your whole medical history. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm just like, why do people say, I don't know. People get in those places. Some are going to love to be a part of that. And I don't want you to feel guilted or ashamed. Man, I should probably want it. But I do want you to go, if you're, it's been mentioned, go see. Maybe just go see what we're talking about. That might be encouraging. Just go see what we're talking about. And some of these other things, soul winning, come to this. The soul winning class is next on the thing. Come, and it's not going to be just for going door to door. It's going to be something to help you to say, you know, I could do this with anybody. And, you know, like I'd like to lead someone to Christ, but I'm not exactly sure what I would say. It's going to help us with a little bit of that. And got some other things going on here. We've got a missionary coming September 29th, missionary in Germany. Fernando Padilla, we've known him. I mean, we know his wife. We're in church with them for about a year. Not with him, but he took her out of there. But they got married and they went and been missionaries over there. We haven't actually seen them in probably a decade or more. And so excited, he said, hey, I'm going to be in Florida. I said, I'd love you to come. And they're going to come and just, he said his wife and daughter won't, and kids won't be able to there. I said, well, then don't come. But I said, no, go ahead, come on. I teased him. I don't know, because it's what I do. And so looking forward to this, all that's coming up. Y'all pray for us. Y'all pray for us as we, I know you will, but I just want to ask you to pray for us as we go to Sri Lanka this next week and the things that are there. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to try to accomplish. We're not going to be able to accomplish everything we wanted to in 2 weeks, you know, but there's a lot of things we're just trusting God to do. And I expect to come back with great reports and pictures, and we're going to show some video. I'm sure we're going to have stuff that it's going to be exciting. But we need God's hand. We need God's hand. And so y'all pray for us, pray for our services here. You know, these guys that are, they're preaching and different ones are going to be taking, it's not just training. It is training, but it's not just training. And I've always said, we don't just have guys that fill in. We have guys that preach, right? I'm thankful. Now Hayden's in training. Amen. We thrust him in it. We thrust him in this morning, gave him a song, and it's a 6-8. I don't even know how to do a 6-8. Like, how do you do a 6-8? I don't really know how to do a 6-8. And you start doing some of these things, man, you had that 4-4, right? Did y'all notice that? You got that 4-4. 4-4 is like just our normal wave. Amen? You got that one good. The 3-4, all of a sudden, it's like, man, amen? Isn't it good? Aren't you glad his courage up here to get it? You know, and so pray one for another. God has a plan for us, and I'm so excited when somebody says, I want to be used in the place. So we got these guys preaching at the nursing home. I think Brother Dave is going to be this week. Okay, John's this week, and then Brother David's next week. And man, it's great, and it's I love the opportunity to. We have other guys filling in different places, and you're going to see Brother Todd's going to be preaching the children's church next week. I love we got guys all over doing that. Amen. And amen. I'm thrilled with that. And so that's what ministry is all about. And so we have a lot of things. So pray one for another, and we'll see what God has for us. All right, let's have another song.
All right, let's please stand as we turn to number 244, Amazing Grace, 244.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Job tonight. We're in the book of Job. We are going to be over there in Job 16. Job chapter 16. So we found last week Eliphaz had turned from seeing Job's condition that he was in as the evidence of his sin. He's turned from that to Job's words as the evidence of his unrighteousness. So he went from his situation to now his words. So he kind of got a new target in a sense. Job 15:16, he said, "Thine own mouth condemneth thee." He said, "Not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee." That's what he said there. Eliphaz ended his speech there in chapter 15 from verses 20 through 35, speaking of the wicked man and what would become of the wicked man. That's what he went there. And so Job's self-defense had turned into self-vindication. Can I tell you, boy, it wasn't pretty. It really wasn't pretty. Eliphaz didn't take it.
He didn't take it easy on him either. Eliphaz wasn't, oh, you know, whatever, buddy. You know, no. He even accused Job of casting off fear of God. You don't even fear God anymore, is what he's saying. The things you're saying was evidence that he wasn't even fearing God. Sometimes people will talk about God in a way that you something's wrong with you. Don't talk about God. You know, somebody, don't talk about God like that. It's kind of what we see Eliphaz doing that last speech. It's like you don't even fear God that you talk about God like that. So now we're going to look at what Job had to say in response to this. Number one, Job thinks he knows what he would do. Look at chapter 16 now. In verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. I love that. So, some of the things in this book we've talked about. Some verbiage in Job that's only in Job. It's hilarious. I mean, what was the other one that last week was, because he covered his face with fatness and maketh collops of fat on his flanks. Anyway, y'all don't. Anyway, it's like, what are you talking about? He said this, verse 3. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? Job saying to Eliphaz, he said, I could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth. And the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Job says, I know what I would do. He wants, here's what Job's trying to do. So the way this goes is one of his friends says something. They're all three standing there. And one of them's giving a speech. Could you just imagine this crowd? They're all three there. Wagging their finger and I guess wagging their head at him. You know, you're saying this, and Job's over here. And so when Job responds, he's not just because they're all teamed up. And so he's responding to this group as a whole. And he wants them to consider if the circumstances were the other way around. He said, if it was the other way around, he could also accuse them. But he said, but I wouldn't. No, you know what I'd do? I'd strengthen you. I'd strengthen you with my words, he said. He said, it's interesting here. Job is saying here, you're not making any new arguments. You're just saying the same things over and over again. You're just getting meaner. Yeah, that is a word. I said it, right? You're just getting meaner. They're becoming meaner with it. It really, I know. I like meaner. Meaner just grabs the tits. It is more mean. Grammatically, it's more mean. But I like meaner. They're being meaner. They're meaners. And so, anyway, now I've got to say, okay, we find Job using the same argument again that he already used. Back there in chapter 12 and verse 5, he said, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. Like, that's a lot of words. We talked about that before. And then again in Job chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friends. So, okay, it's easy. And what he was talking about with that, with the lamp to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of them that's at ease. It's easy to interpret another person's suffering from your place of comfort. Job is repeating the same arguments back to them. He's saying, you're saying the same thing, but he's doing the same thing too, isn't he? If their positions were reversed, Job could make, what he's saying there, he says that really in verse 4, if the situation was reversed, Job is saying, I could make your suffering appear to be as evidence of guilt too. That's true. Don't we kind of do that? I mean, that's kind of our go-to, isn't it? Wonder what sin is up to. Now, we don't maybe say that, but we kind of think it. Y'all willing to be honest? Three of us, just my family. Bunch of, make us look like, It's truth. The rest of them, they just don't want to admit the truth. We see that in some of you. We're like, And then you start seeing, you're like, you know, I did see him do something one time that was a little bit bad. You know, right? And so all of a sudden we start getting to this kind of thing. He said, Job is exposing, he's about to be exposing the weakness of their argument, though. It's really this. They don't have any evidence of Job's wickedness. No evidence. Wouldn't hold up in the court of law, right? No evidence. But they have treated his circumstances as the evidence. Okay, in other words, this is happening to you. You must have done something. We've talked about that over and over. And they've interpreted everything else through that conclusion. This has happened to you. You must have done something wrong. Since you've done something wrong, you need to repent of it. Right? That's the same line over and over. So Job describes how words should be used. He says in verse 5, he says, "But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief." Okay, Job is right here in what we ought to do. We ought to strengthen and assuage. Have you done any assuaging lately? It really just means this. In kind of the context gives it there. It just means to hold back the grief of others. To keep it back. To resist it. The problem is, we more often like to rub it in. Watch this. To be sure the one really gets the lesson. Well, you knew you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have took that cookie. Now, since you took the cookie, I think it was Dee took the cookie. Since you took it, you're not going to get cookies. And I just thought, no, you shouldn't have done it. No, you know you shouldn't have done it, right? And we kind of want to press it in a little bit so they know they got the lesson. Isn't that what we like to do? I don't think she took the cookie. I'm just kidding. It's a family thing. I shouldn't have said that. She did. They all like, did she really? Right now? You're confessing? Okay, just kidding. But here's what we do sometimes. Something happens with somebody. You ever do this? You want to just rub it in a little bit. You want to make sure they really know. They really know that, see, this is why. And we kind of press it in a little bit because this kind of how we... It's kind of how we think and how we operate, and it's kind of human nature, right? And that's kind of what we want to make sure they get it. Job had done this in the past. What he's saying here about this thing of moving, of strengthening with my mouth and the moving of my lips should assuage or resist your grief or hold back your grief. He had done this in the past, and so maybe what he is saying, and this is what he had already done. And Eliphaz said it in Job 4:4. Remember, he said, "Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." So Eliphaz said, "I've watched you do this." I'm going to just say this about Job. His testimony actually does suggest that this would be within his character to do. So he's saying, this is what I would do. Maybe it is what he would have done, and it is what he had done. I think it kind of fits in line with chapters 1 and 2, what God said about him. And so I was thinking about that. Maybe that's why this is so much harder for him to receive from his friends. It's not that they shouldn't treat him this way. Yes, it is that. But maybe it's also that he wouldn't treat them that way. Man, that could be hard. People would treat you in a way, you're like, I wouldn't treat you that way. And so then you kind of defend yourself about why are you doing that to me? I wouldn't do that to you. Well, we're to do unto others as we'd have them to do unto us. Doesn't mean we make others do unto us as we would have as we do to them, right? It's the case is, but it can be a little more painful, especially when you've been the person that has helped those. You've been the person that's done this, and then other people aren't doing it back to you. That's harder to take, isn't it? Now, if you're a jerk, and people are a jerk back to you, I kind of deserve that. You ever done that? I kind of deserve that. You said something kind of harsh, and they jump back, say something kind of harsh. You're like, yeah, I kind of deserve that. But when you've been nothing but of righteousness and blessing and strengthening others, and then they come back, as soon as something doesn't go right with you, they attack you. and call you out and say you've done some sin that you haven't even done. I'm just saying, I can imagine how this can maybe even be a little bit harder to take because of his character. Second thing, though, Job goes back to accusing God. All right. Here's what he's going to say. Neither speaking nor silence brings relief. He said this in the past. He's going to repeat himself. Look at verse 6. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. He likes this word now. He said, and though I forbear, what am I eased? Here's what he said. He said, Job had spoken, but his friends have not understood. They didn't hold back his grief. It just kept coming. He could remain silent, but to forbear would not change his suffering. No matter what he did, whether I say something, whether I defend myself, whether I don't defend myself, it's going to come it's coming the same way at me. His condition appears, and we can kind of see this. He's kind of upset with God about this thing. His condition appears to be a testimony against him. What's going on in his life appears to be testifying that what they're saying is true. Look at verse 7. But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company, and thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me. And my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. So Job's physical condition has become a witness against him. His friends look at his ruined body and treat it as evidence of God's judgment. Everything that people can see in him appears to support their accusation. His family's gone. His possessions are gone. His health is gone. His appearance resembles the condition that Eliphaz had just said, had just attributed to the wicked. He said, all the things that you said, my appearance kind of testifies that I'm, look what God did to me. But the reality is same for both Job and his friends. It comes down to math. It's a math equation, right? Did you know there's math in the Bible? Both sides have the missing variable. That's my math equation. I mean, who started putting letters in math problems? Keep letters over there and keep numbers over here, right? No, but that's the missing variable, right? And they are trying to solve the equation without any way on earth to figure it out. This is their problem. This is really their problem. They're trying to figure out, both of them, both Job and his friends, they're both trying to figure out this equation, this problem, how to solve the problem of what they're seeing, but with a missing variable. Job assumes that the missing variable is that God is his attacker. Look what he says here, verse 9. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces, and set me up for his mark. His archers compassed me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder, and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. Exaggerate much, Job? Right? Man, come on, back off God a little. Can you see his friends having some righteous indignation here? How are you talking about God like this? Job describes God as one that hates him. It's after him. Eliphaz had described the wicked man as running against God. He said there in chapter 15, verse 26, he said, He runneth upon him, even on his neck, upon the thick bosses of his bucklers. So, but what Job says reverses that in here in verse 14. It says, he runneth upon me like a giant. You say I'm running after God, but he's running upon me. Sound like two kids just argue with each other. Two brothers, right? Just arguing. No, I wasn't. Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. It's kind of what we kind of see in here. Job, here's the thing. Job is interpreting God through what has happened, through what he's experienced. Thus, it's this. He comes to this. God as the enemy is the missing variable. What's happening is God is after me. God is treating him unjustly. That's where he, when he has this equation that he's trying to solve, he's put it in to say, what's missing here, the only thing that makes sense. For this, for Job, this is the only way he can make sense of what's going on in his life. God hates me. God is punishing me. Aren't you glad we never get like Job? Truth is, I can't tell you how many people I've met that have this concept, just like Job did, that God is after him. God's trying to get me. Like God is... We have such a strange philosophy of God. But you know why we say God's after me? Because we don't know what the missing variable is. I'm suffering. I'm doing my best. I'm trying. Why would God allow this sickness to come to me? I must have done something wrong. God must be punishing me for something. Then we sit there thinking, what have I done? What have I done? And then you come up, you can't think of something, you know. And then I've talked to people, I've met people that have just for years been angry at God for many, many years. Many years, angry at God. God took a child, took a parent, took a grandparent. A grandparent was 95 years old and died. It's like God took them from me. No, they lived a life. It's appointed unto man once to die, right? And people get angry over some silly things at times, and then it's like, we don't understand, why did God do this? And so what Job says, the only way that this makes sense is that God is the one attacking me. Look at verse 15 now. He says, I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. It really means defiled. It's really a, it means I've lost my power. The horn kind of is that symbol of power. He said, my face is foul with weeping and my eyelids in the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in my hands. Also, my prayer is pure. Job is just, it kind of feels confusing, doesn't it? Here's the third thing. There's only one way to solve this equation. Okay? There's only one way to solve the equation that Job's dealing with. Look here in verse 18 now. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Okay, here's the thing. We are not God, right? We're not God. We do not have the wisdom of God. We don't have the understanding of God, and we don't have the thoughts of God. Amen? We're not God. We don't have all that stuff. We do not know all the things. We do not understand all the things, nor can we discern all the things. We just don't know all the stuff. What stuff? All of the stuff. There's a lot of stuff. What's God doing? I don't know. What do you think I should do? I don't know. If you find something here, do that one. Doesn't that sound so simple? Like, Pastor, this is, you're taking the easy way out. I'm taking the only way. Because there's a missing variable, and I don't want to plug something into that missing variable. And if you'll do this, that'll happen. You know what his friend said? He said, if you'll just go and repent, God will restore everything to you. That was a lie. They were just plugging something in there. We don't have that. But there is a witness in heaven. Amen. It may not be revealed to man. But the Lord does know the truth. God knows what's going on in your life. Can you rest in that? Can you wait on the Lord? Job couldn't. And it was eating him alive. It was eating him up. Matter of fact, can I say this? It tempted him and caused him to sin against God, because God's later going to deal with this. Job's thinking now has an extraordinary tension that's going on here. He's described God as the one attacking him. Yet he appeals to God as the only one that truly knows him. There's this, God, you hate me, but you're God, right? He says, my record is on high. That's where it's at. Job seems to be beginning to look beyond his ability to defend himself. Look at verse 20 now. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go to the way whence I shall not return. Oh, man. Job needs more than another opportunity to defend himself. He needs someone that can plead his case. That's really the deal. He needs someone who can stand before God on his behalf. So Job now asks God to provide a surety. A surety meaning a guarantee. Look at chapter 7 now, verse 1. He said, my breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. And are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation? Lay down now. Put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? For thou hast hid their heart from understanding. Therefore shalt thou not exalt them. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eye of his children shall fail. Listen, Job had previously desired a daysman. Remember that? Wanted a daysman. In chapter 9 and verse 33, he said, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. He's saying he's looking for a mediator. Now Job is asking God for a surety. Someone to assume responsibility for him. A guarantor. Right? He says that back there. He says it in chapter 16, verse 21. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleaded for his neighbor, that someone might take my case up. He talks about striking hands. It's giving a pledge, entering an agreement. But Job recognizes that no ordinary man can fill this position. His surety had to come from the Lord. Because his friends were kind of miserable comforters. Right? Job is finally seeing that there is no earthly plan for vindication. Look now at verse 6. 17 verse 6. He hath made me also a byword of the people. And aforetime I was a tambrit. Mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as a shadow. He says this, Job saying, my reputation, no, let me read verse 8. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. So Job's reputation has already been damaged. His testimony is trashed, right? They're looking at it saying, you've been bad, boy. Whatever you did, God's angry, right? I mean, you see this? He has become an object lesson in the minds of those that see him. He calls it here a byword or a parable. Job sees himself closer, drawing closer to death, yet he states a principle that suffering cannot overturn. In verse 9, he says this, the righteous also shall hold on this way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. So, the righteous man's responsibility, I want you to grab this part, folks. Let me slow down right here. The righteous man or woman's responsibility is not to force every observer to recognize their righteousness. If you're righteous, your job, your responsibility is not to force people to see that you're righteous. That's a frustrating game. His responsibility, the righteous person's responsibility, is to continue in the right way with clean hands. That's it. Yeah, but they're not going to believe me. That doesn't matter. That's not your responsibility. Job has finally got it. Finally got it. But, kind of. Yet he goes back to the challenges the wisdom of his friends. Look at verse 10 now. We're in chapter 17, verse 10. But as for you all. He cracks me up. I don't know. But as for you all, do ye return and come now. For I cannot find one man, wise man among you. Oh, he no longer expects them to be the ones to clear his name. He said, you ain't going to do it. You ain't it. You guys ain't it. His remaining earthly hopes are disappearing. Verse 11, my days are past. My purposes are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart, they change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. And this guy, he is so verbatious, isn't he? You'd think he knew Shakespeare or something. I don't know. It's just, if Job dies without earthly vindication, his friends may never admit that they were wrong. Oh, that's frustrating. Don't you want a time that you could come back? See, I told you. I told you I didn't do anything. Isn't that just like glory days coming? One day they're going to see. They're going to see. Job's like, do you feel this with him? Do you feel this with him? You people are blaming me. I've done nothing. But he goes on. I hope what we grab here from this whole book of Job is this, that you just cannot win trying to vindicate yourself. But not only that, it's just not even our responsibility. We can defend ourselves. But when defense turns into vindication, I'm going to force you to see that I'm right. And that becomes a terrible, becomes its own transgression. That's why it's important to remember that our record is on high. That's the record I'm concerned with, not this one. Now, doesn't mean I don't care what people think. Well, I just don't care what people think. That's dumb. Don't say that. I don't care what people think. What's wrong with you? What's wrong when you say I don't care? Because that's not what God tells us to do. We should have a testimony. We should have a good report among men and with men and with God. Well, I don't care what people think. Well, that's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. Quit saying that. I don't care what people think. You don't mean that. Because if you mean that, you're saying I don't care what God thinks. So it does matter. I want to defend myself. If somebody says I've done something wrong and I haven't, I want to defend myself. But my job is not to force people to agree that I'm righteous. I'm just going to agree to disagree. Okay. Why don't you let them do that? Or why don't you go ahead and prove to them you're not as righteous as you claim to be by just keep arguing with them. Okay, here's our conclusion. Amen. 10 minutes of conclusion. Amen. Number one, both Job and his friends were trying to solve the case without all the evidence. Both of them. They're both They both had the same math problem. His friends filled in the unknown variable by condemning Job. You did something wrong. So his friends say, God, Job, you're a great guy, man. He's a good guy. You strengthen people. You help the feeble need. You help people. You're a good guy. But man, this came to you, so you must have been faking. You must have some hidden sin. The only way his friends could explain it, what was going on, is the only way they could justify what God was doing to him was that he had sinned. Right? They filled in the missing variable. Job filled it in by accusing God, which is the only way he could make sense of the situation. They were both trying to figure out the situation, and they both knew what they knew, their experience, their life. Job's like, I didn't do anything. I mean, not anything, but and he's just, must be God hates me. Right? You understand what's going on here? Second thing. Job had no way to know the missing variable. Folks, this is the painful part. The whole thing that's going on in the book of Job is for Job not to know what's going on. This thing that Satan said, he's only serving you because you're blessing him. God said, that's not true. He said, well, then let me work him over and we'll see. God said, okay. But don't take his life. And so the whole thing wasn't, hey, Job, it's not me, Job. It's Satan. It kind of defeat the whole thing. So for God's namesake, for his glory, it had to be left unknown. Job's mad about it. Job's mad about God doing what God's going to do. And it's frustrating, don't you? Because think about that with us. What God's doing in your life at times, and you don't understand it. And I don't, you know what? I don't care about understanding when God's blessing. I don't know what he's doing, but it's awesome, right? I don't care. But God's blessing. But when it's the other way, the unblessing, I need to know. I need to know so I can fix it, so I can get out of this mess. God said, that's not how it works, buddy. You didn't get to know over there. You don't get to know now. And if you do get to know, it's when I let you know because I wanted you to know. That doesn't seem fair. Oh, you want the fair door. It's pretty hot in there. Right? And I hate that this, I hate what Adam and Eve did. I can't wait till that day we get back, till we don't have to deal with this old flesh. Job had no way to figure this out. He's trying to solve the equation. It's an impossible one. Well, if I just work hard, there ain't no working hard on it. It's because it wasn't meant to be solved. But he was beginning to recognize this here, is that his testimony and record was on high. Faith does not have to know everything God knows. But it must rest in the fact that God knows. Is it good enough? So here's a challenge. If we believe that our testimony is truly with the Lord, then let God be your surety. Let him be your surety. I wish I could say right here, I wish I could say right here, finally, Job finally got it. Man, he got it. But we're still not halfway through this book. Job. We're only on the second round. There's three rounds. Don't you want to just say, come on, Job. Can't we just tell it? God, can't we just tell him? Can't we just tell him? He's going to keep struggling the case and self-defense and self-vindication and self-pity. He's going to keep struggling with this. His friends are going to continue to restate their case. They got nothing else to say. Because they're both trying to answer the same problem with the same way, with the same missing variable. And everything they do is like, the only way, you ever done that with a math problem? You got it wrong and they said, go figure this out. And you go figure it out, you come up with the same answer again. Or you come up with a different answer, but it's still wrong. You ever do that? I loved these long, page-long math problems. I love those. But if you get one thing wrong, if you just transcribe something wrong, you never find the answer. But this is one, there is no right answer. You don't get the answer. You don't have the information. You can't guess it. So let God be your surety. Second thing is this on the channel. But what we have, you and I, we have the missing variable. We have it from chapters 1 and 2. Amen? Listen, Job is our example so that we can know what's going on. That's why we have this here, folks. That's why God gave us this. That's why God gave us this account of Job so that we know we've got the missing variable. We know what God's doing in his life in this situation. That's why I want to cry out, come on, just let him know a little bit. Can he have just, you God know, it's not God. No, don't you want to just like holler into the TV or the storyline? No, you ever like read a book and you're like in the middle of a book that gets so intense, you want to just like, no, don't go into that room or something. You know, you like want to talk to the book like it's already written years ago. Done. It's happened already. But you want to just tell them and they keep going down the same road. You want to tell the Jews, the nation of Israel, you want to tell them, don't go against God again. It's not going to go well, but it's already over. Job is our example. This, what Job did and what God had Job do was for us. Don't try to be a modern day Job. I think one Job was enough. And I think God thought one Job was enough. Job said, can you almost see God said, you know, God does these things. Say, I'm going to flood this earth, start over. But I'm never going to do it again like that. I'm glad. Because that lightning last night, I thought might have been coming. Right? I'm glad I'm glad God doesn't have to show Satan again with our lives. He's already done it. We don't need self-vindication. Let God be your surety. Let him be your guarantee. Because our record is on high. Father, I do pray that you'd help us this evening, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to trust you, Lord. Lord, help us to trust you in this day that we live, Lord. We don't understand these things, and it is so challenging for us. Lord, we will see the things in our life going away that we just cannot understand and cannot anticipate. And Lord, we wonder and doubt and fear. And yet, Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to solve this equation that Job and his friends could not in the midst of this. God, you have our record on high. And Lord, we can trust you. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in our hearts tonight. We'll give you thanks for it. Let's all stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has spoken to your heart, pray that you come and spend some time at the altar. Maybe just ask God to help you to trust Him.